That's close enough.
Okay. I'm just going to let him come up and introduce himself and let him get started.
Thank you, Brenda. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope everybody's here and they've come excited about learning a little more than they knew before they got here this morning. I don't know about you, but I found out in my lifetime I have to continue to learn every day. And when we think we've got a handle on Christianity and when we think we've got Jesus and the Holy Spirit nailed down and put in a box, that's when you're about to learn something big, because He will blow the lid off the box. And I hope you're here to experience that here today. I am Richard Rhodes. I have been ministering as a lay minister in Western North Carolina for 16 years. I had the privilege of leading Mike Helms. Mike is a member of our ministry. And training him as a lay minister in Western North Carolina some years ago. And now we minister side by side. We're both members of the United Methodist Evangelist Association, and we're lay members of that association. So we carry full accreditation with the Methodist Evangelist as well as being certified lay speakers in Western North Carolina. We do a lot of work with an organization called Aldersgate Renewal. Aldersgate Renewal's purpose and function is to bring the life of the Holy Spirit back into the Methodist Church, the way John Wesley experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I am here today. We're going to be going not too many months from now. I'll be teaching in Rogers, Arkansas. These pamphlets are Aldersgate's National Conference on the Holy Spirit, and Rogers, Arkansas happens to be where it's going to be this year. It's going to be in July, and July 18th through the 22nd. I'm going to leave these up here for you guys in case some of you may want to join us in flying to Arkansas to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of the greatest spiritual leaders in this country will be, and other countries, are coming to train, equip, and teach during this time. So it's going to be an excellent time for people to come and learn. Let us pray. Lord God, we just thank You for opportunities. We thank You for kingdom advancement opportunities, Lord. We thank You for the giftings that You give through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank You today that You trust us enough this day to release upon us, Your believers, the most powerful gifts ever given to mankind, the gifts of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray for divine interpretation today to come to all of those who are here so that they will understand fully what the purpose of these gifts are for and how that they can be used to advance Your kingdom as we demonstrate You more effectively. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, this is going to be a bit of a challenge today because I'm going to take a 90-minute teaching that I'll be doing in Rogers, Arkansas, and we're going to synopsize it down to a typical Methodist 11 o'clock worship service teaching. If some of you are going to have to get to the J&S before the Baptist, you might want to leave now. Because it's going to take a little while to do this the way it needs to be done. You know, I ask a lot of people in the places that I go, how did the disciples first receive the Holy Spirit? How did they first receive the Holy Spirit? And when I ask that question, I always get the wrong answer. How did they first receive the Holy Spirit? In the book of John, chapter 20, verse 22, it says, when He, Jesus, had said this, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So, the first time the Holy Spirit was distributed by Jesus, He breathed it out. If someone walks in front of you and breathes on you, how do you receive what has been breathed out? You inhale it. Therefore, it has to be inside you. Inside you. Inside you. The Holy Spirit, when the Spirit was first released, and it is not an it, it is a He. The Bible always says it is a He. It is a person, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has feelings just like we do. We can grieve Him. Sadly, He is being grieved by many churches today because He is locked out very power source God has given us to minister effectively has been locked out because we have become ignorant of the Holy Spirit. Once they received the Holy Spirit inside, what did they do? Nothing. Not one ounce, not one thing of ministry was accomplished. Nothing was accomplished. Go back and read your Bible. There was no ministry accomplished by the disciples until the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. It was not receiving the Holy Spirit through the breath of Jesus. In fact, until the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus as a dove, He did not minister. What I want us to understand first and foremost, go through your Bible, read your Scripture, and look for that little word, U-P-O-N, upon. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the overwhelming of the Holy Spirit. That is the full measure, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Further evidence I give you from Luke 24:49, Jesus had already breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples, but He said this, "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with the power from on high." They'd already received the Holy Spirit. Why would He say, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with the power from on high"? That word "tarry" means sit down. In my good mountain speak, it means don't hit a lick of the snake until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Big difference between in and upon that the church needs to recognize today. Then in Acts 1:8, Jesus says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." Have you received power? Do you have the power in your life to overcome the sin that wants to take you down? Do you have the power to cast out demons like infested that man that killed 33 people, including himself, at Virginia Tech? And then make no mistake about it, that is the act of a demon. Multiple demons. That's how you recognize what happened there that day. He was possessed. He could no longer contain his own abilities to function. Those demons drove him to pull that trigger more than 33 times. Could you have recognized the demon in him through the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes, you could. That word "power" in the original Greek is dunamis, dynamite, dynamo power. That's what it stands for. We have been given the key element to be the most powerful people on the face of this planet, and that power is the Holy Spirit. Have you received that power in your life? Jesus began to operate in power once the Holy Spirit descended upon Him as a dove. The disciples began to operate in power once the Holy Spirit came upon them as tongues of fire in the upper room. And they walked down those stairs, and honey, they got in ministry. And 3,000 people came to salvation that day, when before that they had never witnessed to a single soul, according to this book. There's no evidence of it if they did. We must understand, first and foremost, we have not been promised a life of mediocrity as Christians. Jesus didn't say that I'm going to give you a life of mediocrity. He says, no, I come to bring abundant life. Are you experiencing abundance today? Do you have the power? John Wesley is the finest example of this I know. John Wesley was a defeated minister. He had stopped preaching until Aldersgate Street. He said, "I came to save the lost, but who will save me?" John Wesley said that. A bunch of Germans convinced him to go to a street corner preaching on Aldersgate Street in London. And while he stood there and listened to a man preach on Romans, the Holy Spirit came upon John Wesley. And he would write from that day forth, "The world is my parish." Boldness came into his life. The first evidence of it was when he preached the next time he raised his voice. And guess what that got him? Banned in all but 5 churches in England. Because it was considered a sacrilege to preach with any kind of emotion. And they labeled him an enthusiast. Lord knows we need more enthusiasts today in the church. The word means in theos, in God. What Wesley had to do is preach at street corners and coal mines and tent meetings and wherever people were. Hey, what a novel idea. Take Jesus to the people. Don't expect all the people to come to Him all the time. And the Methodist faith was birthed out of the power of the Holy Spirit. And they saw phenomenal things. They saw people healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name in John Wesley's day. Should be common, ordinary, everyday stuff to God's people. Healing, deliverance, salvation. Should be the norm, not the exception. And it is with many of us today. John Wesley said this, "I am not afraid lest the people who call themselves Methodists should cease to exist, either in Europe or in America, but I am afraid lest they exist only as a dead sect, having a form of religion and no power." Which will undoubtedly be the case unless they hold fast to the doctrine, the Holy Spirit, and the discipline with which we set out. Prophetic words from John Wesley. What I want to talk to us about this morning is what happens is when this Holy Spirit comes upon us, and yes, the Holy Spirit can come upon you this day before you leave this church, if you so want that to happen. But it is your choice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find one of the many benefits of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians, you might want to get your Bible. Because I want us to understand this book is not a buffet line. You know, sometimes we get an idea that this book is kind of like going to J&S. I'll take a little of this, but I don't want none of that. No. If it's not all right, none of it's right. This is the infallible Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be..." What's that word? Ignorant. Ignorant. That's a bad word, isn't it? I don't want nobody to call me ignorant. Some of the greatest theologians of our day right now are saying one of the major difficulties and weaknesses in God's church today is because we are ignorant of God's Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings. "You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." You can't get the Holy Spirit ever if you hadn't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We can pray for you all day long to receive the baptism. It ain't happening. If you're not a believer, follower, put your trust and faith as Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will never have the Holy Spirit in your life. Never. Won't happen. Then he says this, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries in the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is all the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as He wills. So here's the deal. When we receive Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit inside. But the Holy Spirit wants to come upon us. He wants us to empty ourselves out of all the junk that we have collected over our lives to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us and reign over us and anoint us. And that's what anointing is. The Holy Spirit upon you. And once the Holy Spirit comes upon you and anoints you, He never leaves. David is the perfect example. When David was anointed by Samuel, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit came upon him from that day forward. David anointed by the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Yes. Read it in the book of Samuel. That's why David was such a great man of God. He had an anointing from God. And you can have the same anointing. I want to talk about these gifts, and we're going to have to move quickly through it because, as you know, we've got a lot to cover. I call these gifts power tools. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, these gifts operate so that we can demonstrate Jesus more effectively. I'm going to group them in groups of three. Now understand, there's nine of these gifts listed here. Romans will list some other gifts in addition to these, but we're only going to cover these nine today. The first three, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, they go together. A word of knowledge is having knowledge through the power of the Holy Spirit about something in the past or present that an individual is dealing with when you minister to that individual. That is the word of knowledge. It is not God giving you all of that person's history. It is a word of knowledge. Many times that word may be rejection, that person has been rejected throughout their life, and God wants you to speak over them how much He loves them, how much He cares for them, what they mean to Him in His kingdom. Sometimes the word is unforgiveness. More sick people that I have dealt with, unforgiveness is binding them from receiving healing. And God will reveal that unforgiveness. If they don't let go of it, it ain't happening. Bitterness and unforgiveness will keep you from receiving what God has for you. It's kind of like, how did we get where we are? A word of knowledge. We were in Pennsylvania not long ago, and as I was ministering to a young lady, the Holy Spirit kept telling me to speak over her, teenager. She was fearfully and wonderfully made. That's Scripture. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you for a purpose. You're not here by mistake. He added to that, you have a sound mind. I would find out later this young girl who gave her testimony is a cutter. That means someone who intentionally tries to take their own life by cutting themselves. Now, the Lord didn't reveal that to me. What He revealed to me is what she needed. And when she stood up and gave her testimony that Sunday morning, her whole life had changed because she had received a word of knowledge. That happened to be a word from the Word. And instantly there was breakthrough. Where she could have gone to Christian counselors, she could have spent time and money for months and maybe experienced breakthrough. But in a split second, the Holy Spirit gave me what she needed. She was fearfully and wonderfully made. And it changed her life. Word of wisdom works in conjunction with word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is, how did we get here? Word of wisdom is, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Lady in our church several years ago, Jody, stepped up in front of me for prayer for financial. And I said, Jody, the Lord's about to promote you, but it's going to cost you something. she would find out within 2 days she was going to receive a five-figure salary increase. But she had to move to Raleigh. Sometimes word of wisdom will be conditional. This is going to happen, but first, you'll have to do this. Mike and I met a man in Missouri this year who God gave a new liver. He was given 10 days. Who said somebody was given 3 years? He was given 10 days by his doctor. Jesus gave him a new liver. His name's Howard. A brand new liver. Talk to the doctors in Missouri. But I told Howard, you've got to get in the Word. God says this is important. If you're going to keep your healing, you have got to get grounded. You have got to become a follower of Jesus. Howard did not do that. The word of wisdom he received, he did not act on. And he is in grave danger today of losing his life after getting a new liver. He didn't heed the word of wisdom. The difference between word of knowledge and word of wisdom and prophecy is in the future. It's out there somewhere. Now, does that mean it's never going to come true? No. It's been released to the heavenlies. Prophecy operates the same way today it did in the Old Testament. God has prophets. There are entire churches of prophets today in many areas of this country. Prophecy is being able to see into the future for another person. Now, the devil has a counterfeit to prophecy, and you call that fortune telling. Works on the same premise. You got to be careful. There's a fine line between prophecy and witchcraft. And that's why you need another gift of the Spirit we're going to talk about here in just a minute. Prophecy. To be able to see into the future. I had a black lady, Mike knows her, Sharon Billings, stand in front of me, how many years ago now? And she said, you're going to be writing workshops, you're going to be traveling the whole country. I hadn't written the first workshop. But I received that prophecy. And we'd now travel the country and teach 3 workshops all over this great nation. That was a word of prophecy released to me that day that I did receive. And we did stand upon. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy work together. Together. If you've got anybody in your life right now that's struggling with depression, I'm going to give you a word of prophecy right now, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. If you've got anybody suffering from depression, you write this down. Proverbs 12:25. It says, anxiety in the heart of a man causeth depression. It's a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 is the word of wisdom. For you have not been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And when I can get people who are suffering from clinical depression to pray that over themselves, the living, breathing Word of God, they get off medication, they go back to work, they open the blinds, and the sunshine comes in. It works. I can show you people. If you want to go see them, we'll visit them today. That's how these gifts work. The next 3 that I've grouped together are faith, gifts of healings, and miracles. Now, first of all, this is not faith as we know faith. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's a different kind of faith. If you read this book and you begin to apply it in your life and stand on it, you will receive a measure of faith. In fact, you need that. Goodness gracious, we need that. But there's another faith. It is a gift of faith. It is walking on water, get out of the boat, Peter. You can do it kind of faith. And it comes as a gift from the power of the Holy Spirit. And do not undertake gifts of healings or miracles if you don't have that gift. Because it'll wear you out. A gift of faith to know that God's on the job. That Jesus is on the throne. And it don't matter what the doctor says. It don't matter what anybody says about a current situation. I know Jesus. And I know the power of God's Holy Spirit. And He always has a suddenly. And that diagnosis can change in a heartbeat. But you got to have a gift of faith. If you don't have faith, you'll not walk up to someone and anoint them with oil and lay hands and pray for them to be healed. The Bible tells us in two different places. James chapter 5, if anybody's sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil. Let them lay hands. And the prayer of faith will save them. And the Lord will raise them up. Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, those who believe. Anybody believe in Jesus here today? Anybody? It says, if you believe, you'll cast out demons. If you believe, you'll speak with new tongues. And it says, if you believe, you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Faith in operation. Jesus has given us the authority, folks, to do things like this. Faith. I got off an airplane in Allentown, Pennsylvania. They put me in a van with teenage girls and a driver. And we're headed to the campground for this retreat I'm leading. The first thing I heard out of the back was, I've got a migraine headache from one of the girls. And my head's hurting so bad I can't see. And I told the bus driver, pull off right here. We got out of that van, anointed that young lady with oil, and that migraine headache left like that. It had to go. I commanded it to go in Jesus' name. And it got real quiet in that van. The next little voice I heard was, he must have a lot of faith. And it is faith. But see, when you know Jesus, when you know what Jesus can do, when you know what the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit can bring down from heaven, you can't help but have faith and walk in it. And then when you match that with what the Word of God says and you marry the two together, you're a miracle looking for a place to happen in Jesus' name. And that's the truth. Gifts of healings. We've seen hands healed. We've seen deaf ears open, knees, migraines. We've saw leukemia leave in Pardee Memorial Hospital in Hendersonville, North Carolina. A group of lay people just praying for a man to be healed. Faith, gifts of healings, miracles. Commonplace for the Church of Acts. No different today. There's more miracles occurring right now today than there were in the book of Acts. Because there's more people operating in the gifts than in that book. The last three that I put together are discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Discerning of spirits is knowing what's in front of you. Is it an evil spirit that's moving this person? They love to get inside churches. They'll mess one up in a heartbeat as soon as that person's given authority. A position of authority with a person with an evil spirit will mess your church up. We're dealing with it now in many churches. I've been into churches where I've had to tell the pastor he's got a witch singing in the choir. And he'd look at me like y'all are looking at me. Until I get a phone call 2 weeks later and he says, you're absolutely right. She is a witch. Discerning of spirits. What's in front of you today? Is it God or is it evil? That's a gift of the Holy Spirit that He'll give you, that you need today. You need that gift. When we talk about tongues and we talk about interpretation of tongues, I might as well just draw a dividing line across every church. Because Satan has used this more than any single gift to get his way. You see, Satan cannot understand a tongue. It blew my mind when I read my Bible and found out when I pray, Satan can understand what I pray. And he can work against it. But he cannot interpret a tongue given by God. Now, I'm not going to preach on tongues all day. I could stop right now and we'd have an hour worth of questions, because we usually do. What I'm going to tell you is I have seen that gift operate and work miraculous things when nothing else did. If you have closed your mind to that gift all these years, go back to what I said. This is not a buffet line. This is not, I'm going to take some of this, but I don't want none of that. Some of the finest Methodist preachers in this country who spent their life preaching against tongues now pray in tongues. An interpretation of tongues is simply being able to understand what you're saying in tongues. There may be opportunity sometime to come and minister more on all these gifts in detail, because we really need to do that, even if it's on a Wednesday night and y'all can ask questions. But what I want to do right here is to just close out and tell you that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says this. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, actually. Let me just read it to you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Now that word stir up means rekindle. It means to get it going. To get that gift operating in your life. You know, it is an amazement to me to be able to operate in these gifts. It takes all the heavy lifting out of ministry. It's the truth. Guy preaching at our church today. I asked my wife this morning, what's he going to preach on? And I said, well, wait a minute, and I'll tell you what he's going to preach on. He's going to preach on turning the power on in your life. And she didn't ask me how I knew that. She knows how I know it. And that's what he's preaching on. Mike and I are missing that this morning. But that's what he's preaching on. See, he's been without power for 3 days. Well, unfortunately, we've been without power in the church long enough. And if you feel like that you have not had all the power, then there's an opportunity today to come down. And there's no heavy lifting involved. To simply allow us to lay hands on you and pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. The same way Paul did. The same way the disciples did. The same way it's done all over the world today. The same way it's always been done. Now for some of you, that excited you to no end. And for others, it scared you to death. And that's common. That's not unusual. All I can tell you is this. I have ministered for 10 years the way most ministers minister. Out of their own abilities. I've ministered for 6 years under the power of God's Holy Spirit, and there's not even a semblance of resemblance between the two. And that's available to you here today. Not just to somebody who's been through 4 years of college, not just to somebody that has a degree, not just to somebody who can quote everything in here forwards and backwards. It's available to all of us. God is saying to us here today, I want you to receive everything I have for you so that you can now go and show what I can do in power. And the Bible says there's a reason for all this. The reason that Christians operate with the gifts of the Spirit is so they can produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it's for. Ever notice there's 9 gifts and 9 fruit? Many of them cross over. Draw a line and just cross them over. You'll be amazed. How can a man stand on TV, this guy named McCain at Virginia Tech, and proclaim to the nations in Jesus' name, he has forgiven the man who killed his daughter? Because that's what Jesus would have done. That's Christianity. That's Christianity at its hallmark. That's Jesus dying on the cross, forgiving the men that put him there. That's Christianity. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Many, many people have seen their lives changed not because of what they heard someone preach, but because of what they saw in the life of a Spirit-filled Christian that they didn't have. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus tells us in the book of John, He wants us to produce lasting fruit. Fruit that does not go away. What I want to do this morning, and I know this is a bit unusual, and if some of you guys are on strict timelines, and if you need to go, then that's okay. But I'm going to ask my brother to just begin to play something for us this morning. And what I want to do is invite you to come to this altar this morning. Mike will be over here and I'll be over here. And all we're going to do, for those of you who want to come today, is we're simply going to pray over you for the Holy Spirit to come upon you this day. Now, if you have any needs or concerns or health issues that you want specifically prayed for, then let us know that when you come down. If you want to stand in for someone who's having a difficult time, then let us know that also when you come down. Let us pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for the truth and revelation of Your Word here this day. Father, we know the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for all believers through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Father, we just know that You did not want us to go through this life being tossed every which way the wind blows. You tell us that in Your Word. You want us to be strong. You want us to be full of power and faith. You even tell us that without faith it is impossible to please You. Father, we just want to please You today with obedience to come down and receive what You and You alone can dispense through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, you do. Good. Well, then, the Bible says if you're... Let's just do